Moin Moin, hier ist Olli von der Kevide Kreativbrauerei.
Hallo, hier ist Holger von Bierleben.
Hier ist Jens Reinecke von Störtebecker.
Servus, hier ist der Richie.
Hier ist Marc von Profaktum.
Servus, herzliche Grüße, euer Sebastian Briller und Steffen vom Brauhaus Riegler.
Moin Moin, der Hans aus Aschaffenburg aus dem bayerischen Nizza. Servus.
Hi, servus, hier ist der Sebastian von Kraftbräu. Herzlich willkommen.
Männerabend.
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 Männerabend. Ein wunderbarer Podcast und für mich absolut lebensnotwendig.
Prost.
Cheers.
So, und jetzt sind wir beim Heiligen Gral quasi angekommen. Wir sind bei Russian River, Pliny the Younger, heute der große Release. Und in diesem Jahr hat es tatsächlich geklappt. 2015 haben wir es schon probiert. Da war Vinny leider zeitlich ein bisschen mehr eingebunden, als es heute der Fall ist. Und umso mehr freue ich mich, dass das heute geklappt hat. Thank you for having us, Vinny. Today, very special day. Maybe the most special day of the whole year for you. It's the release of Pliny the Younger 2020. Can you tell us, what is Pliny the Younger and why is it so special? People lining up for today, probably up to 8 hours to try that beer.
Yeah, we have an 8 hour wait today at both our breweries, one in Santa Rosa, which is only maybe 10 kilometers from our facility we're at right now. So Pliny the Younger is a triple IPA. We first made it in 2005. Back then, Pliny the Elder, which was our double IPA, wasn't even well known, but we certainly made it. But the idea was to take the Pliny the Elder recipe and see how we could expand upon it and to add more hops and to make it a bigger, more flavorful beer. The first decision that had to be made was, do you make it higher in alcohol or lower in alcohol? And the obvious choice is to make it higher in alcohol. But if you really want to let the hops really come out and be even more alive and full in the aroma and flavor, you would technically go lower in alcohol. Yeah. But in doing so, you make a beer that's too light in body. Yeah. So we made it, I decided to take it from 8%, which is what Pliny the Elder is, 8%. ABV, and take it up to 10.25%. Yeah. Initially, it was actually 11%, but over the years, I whittled it down and brought it to 10.25%. And we just found that to be a good sweet spot with the hops, the malt, the alcohol flavor, the alcohol presence. And really, you know, the foundation of this still is around two hops, Simcoe and Amarillo. Both of these are American IPA hops. They've both been around for about 20, 21 years now. And, you know, when you make a beer like this and you only do it once a year, you don't have the opportunity of repetition. So at the end of a year, at end of a season, I'll make the changes for next year's recipe. And I need to trust that those changes are what we're going to carry through. But every year, the recipe is about 80% the same, maybe 90% the same.
So today we are in the new Windsor Brewery. We'll talk about that in a second. But back in 2015, when my friend Nico and I visited Russian River for the first time, April 2015, we went to Santa Rosa, of course, was the only location. And by that time, you just installed a new brewing system. So we sent a couple of emails and you went like, oh my God, Dennis, I'm so sorry. The brewing system just arrived. I'm so busy. I have no time. Whatever, that was totally fine. So we tried the beers and I still remember I tried the Pliny the Elder for the first time and I went like, oh my God, if you go on Google, Wikipedia and you put in double IPA, this is what a double IPA should be like. So when people ask me and they heard about, oh, you're going to the release of Pliny the Younger, I was like, or they were like, what do you expect? It's the best beer in the world. I was like, I just expect like a higher version of the Pliny the Elder, which would be on Wikipedia under double IPA, and I expect what I would think if I put in triple IPA, that's what I expect. And I think all the people standing in line with probably the best weather in years. Yeah. I saw a lot of videos, YouTube videos, people running down the line, and it was rainy, it was cold, and people waiting in line for 5 hours. Today, it's sunny, 20 degrees Celsius. And what's so special for you about Pliny the Younger and this day? It's opening day, the first day, and were you like 7 a.m. in the morning, started greeting people. Yeah. What is so special about the opening day for you?
Yeah, you just said it exactly. It's meeting the people. I absolutely love coming here in the morning. So my day started today at about 7 a.m. here at our Windsor facility. It was quite a bit colder than it is now. But so everyone was bundled up. But I love walking the line, meeting people, if, you know, shaking their hand, finding out where they're from, if they've come to the Pliny the Younger release. You know, so we've been doing that. We've been making Pliny the Younger since 2005, but it was in 2010 that everything changed. And this was when we only had the Santa Rosa, the our brew pub there that we still have. And I went in and it was 7 a.m. and I went to put the Pliny the Younger on tap in 2010, the first Friday of February, because we always release it like the first Friday every year. And there's people outside waiting. And I went and I said, what are you guys doing here? And I said, you know, we don't open for 3 or 4 hours, whatever time it was. And they said, well, we're here because, you know, it's one of the, it's been rated one of the best beers in the world. Okay. And I said, by who? and they looked at me funny and they said, you don't know? And I said, no. And on Rate Beer and Beer Advocate, two of the early, you know, rating websites had us ranked at the top one or two, three, I can't even remember. Yeah. And I was blown away. And that is when everything changed for us. And we often get asked, you know, how did it happen? What can you, you know, how do I do this myself? And it's, you can't. It's an organic thing that happens. Like either consumers want your product or they don't, and why they still line up, I honestly, I can't answer. I mean, I usually, on a bigger comparison, I mean, this is a global comparison, but, you know, you dream of something like this happening, but, you know, did Steve Jobs really know that the iPhone would literally like revolutionize the phone business and the way that people used to line up for iPhones and stuff? And that's, you know, that's how we felt. We just didn't know. We had no idea. And from 2010 on, we've had a line. So this is the 11th year that we've had a line. And so Natalie, my wife and business partner, we, every morning, we make an effort to go out and walk the line. So today I walked the line here in Windsor. Natalie started in Santa Rosa. Okay. And then we switched. Yeah. And then I walked the line there and she walked the line here. And then she opened the restaurant here and did our staff meeting in the morning. And I did the same in our little brewery in Santa Rosa. And it is honestly my favorite part. And we're so honored and flattered and humbled that people will wait 8 hours for our beer.
On a Friday.
On a Friday. Yeah. I mean, here, so it is a funny comparison. And this may be just an American thing, because I'm pretty sure like soccer games in Germany and around Europe don't happen in the middle of a day. Yeah. But here in America, they often have baseball games in the middle of the day. Yeah. It could be like a random Tuesday, Wednesday, 1, 2 in the afternoon. Yeah. So 13, you know, 1400. Yeah. And there'd be like 20,000 people in the stands. I'd be like, don't you people work? Yeah. And that's sometimes I look at this and I go, wow, like people have taken their day off. Yeah. And I remember meeting a group 2 years ago in line in Santa Rosa. It was pouring down rain, like you said. It was 20 people from a company, and it was a small biotech firm or tech firm from the Silicon Valley. And the boss, it was a company holiday, and he took his entire company, and I thought team it was building. Really cool. It was team building. Yeah, he rented a bus.
In the cold, in the rain,
and then, for beer. And then the next year, I saw them again, but this time the weather was good, and they all had their computers out, and they were getting some work done, but once they got inside, that was going to be it. So I absolutely love meeting the people, and you know, we couldn't do this without, you know, our amazing employees, but also without our guests, our customers that keep coming back. And that's what we find. And yes, every year we meet new people that haven't been before, but often it's, I've been 5 years in a row, 6 years in a row, 7 years in a row. Wow. This is my second or third time. Yeah. It's the fact that they come back. And, you know, again, we don't know the formula other than we make exceptional beer. We have exceptional customer service. We make great food. We have great facilities, great customer service. It's just everything has to be top notch. And we remind our staff that, you know, people are coming from around the world looking for a world-class experience, you know, from a world-class brewery. Last year we had, we track where everyone comes from, and a lot of times the county that we sit in does an economic impact study,
4.2 million, I heard.
Yeah, 2019 younger release. That was our both breweries combined in the county was $4.2 million. And that was just for the 2 weeks. Yeah. And so that encompassed folks coming from 40 states around the United States and 14 countries. This morning already in Santa Rosa, I met folks from all over the U.S., but I met a group that came from Australia.
Wow.
And even to me, even almost as amazing or more amazing, I met two people that came all the way from India, and they own a brewery in India, and they came just for the release, and that to me is so humbling.
And this year, for the second time, the Pliny the Younger is released in your new brewery here in Windsor. And I saw the pictures, I saw the video, I saw the time lapse, everything. And when I went here, I went like, wow, this is even bigger than I expected. Is this still craft? Like a joke we do in Germany. And what a wonderful building you built. A brew pub, a tap room, the brewery. We'll have a tour later to see that. Open fermentation, really looking forward to that. And how long was this location in the plans, in your dreams? And how happy you were when it finally opened and you got the keys to the new location.
Yeah, so this has been something that Natalie and I have dreamt about for years. And when we started our, our story for Russian River, real quick background, we actually were started by the largest sparkling wine producer in America. The name is Korbel. And they opened Russian River Brewery in 1997, and they hired me to run the brewery for them and be their brewer and whatnot. And in 2002, they decided to get out of the beer business. They wanted to close the brewery. So I traded them my severance package, the money that they would give me when I left. Yeah. So I traded my severance for the Russian River name. So I walked away with no money, but I did have the Russian River name. So Natalie and I ended up being $950,000 from friends and family, from 30 friends and family. And by 2008, we opened a production brewery that we've since closed down since we've opened this new brewery in Windsor. But along the way, we kept buying out our investors as whenever we could afford it. And in 2012, we made a big push, and then we just little by little bought everyone out. Okay. And that was the foundation of this. So, I mean, they made incredible money. We did really, our investors did really well. But our dream was to build this brewery. So it really started, we started doing a lot of research on, you know, building a brewery like this, a state-of-the-art, modern, beautiful in 2015, but we've always visited breweries. And it was in 2018 that we opened, and we built the brewery in 18 months. So it's a big facility, but we got it done in 18 months. And we, you know, as you say, got the keys and started brewing in, September of 18. So now we've been in it here for a year and a half or so. And we're finally just getting comfortable with it. Most of the equipment is from Germany.
Yeah.
So Kunsol is our malt handling equipment. Zeman is our brew house. Our open top fermenters are Aggressor from Regensburg, Germany, and Hauptmann did a lot of another German company. Most people know Hauptmann in Germany as the sausage making machines, but they also have a division where they make brewing parts. And so a lot of German equipment from the facility, just because the German equipment is so precise and precision made. But now that we have this beautiful brewery, it enabled us to make more beer like Pliny the Younger, but still within reason, because we don't want to make too much of it, because we don't want it to sit around and not get consumed. Yeah. You know, that's the one thing. I mean, one thing I saw, and I was in Germany an awful lot, with all these, trips to buy the equipment and inspect equipment. And, you know, it's a different, market, because in Germany, like beer is almost a commodity. It's everywhere. Yeah. And although that's the same here, the craft beer industry has been able to work in such a way that if you want your beer to be kept cold from the day it leaves the brewery to the day that it gets to the store, you can do that. That would be nearly impossible in Germany. But what's interesting, putting like craft beer aside, and we saw a lot of like German craft beer.
It's small, but it's there.
And it was fun to taste them. But what I mean, I've always been a huge Pilsner fan. So we make a Pilsner, and we make it only in our open top fermenters, and it's a little bit hoppier than what you would you would see in Germany. But what I fell in love with in Germany was the Helles. And so now we make a Helles full time.
A lot of Helles. We visited like 10 breweries before, and I would say 9 out of 10 breweries had a Helles. And in Germany, Helles is everywhere. Yeah. And I tried it. And all we tried were really good. So Helles is, maybe you can take in on that. A Helles is more difficult to make than like a triple IPA, because in a triple IPA, you can add more hops, more hops, more hops. But a Helles, if you don't brew it good, it tastes not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you have a beer such as a Helles and there's a flaw, it's going to show through, because there's nothing to cover it up. Like you, if you make an IPA and it's mediocre, you can put a lot of hops in and cover up some off fermentation flavors or whatnot. But even you know, a Helles that we saw in Germany that was, you know, maybe mediocre, it was still better than any industrial beer here in America. And I think it's, and I love that tradition, that beer tradition in Germany. I know there's some in America that look at Germany and go, oh, well, they're handcuffed by the Reinheitsgebot and there's only, you know, maybe 6 or 8 styles, you know, Helles, Pilsner, Bock, Märzen, you know, Hefeweizen, of course. And there's more, of course, but I kind of like that tradition and the standards, and that, you know, I mean, sometimes beer doesn't have to be fancy and over the top. Like sometimes you just want to just drink a beer. And like I said, I always found that even, you know, a mediocre quality beer that I had in Germany, it was still a million times better than the industrial beer that we would get here. Nothing wrong with the industrial beer here. It's the same thing. You know, trying to make a clone of Budweiser is very difficult because it's such a light beer. I mean, it's even lighter than Helles. But there's just something, I think, special about the beer is just entrenched in the German culture. And that was one of my favorite things about Germany. And there was this little restaurant, brewery, bar, cafe around the corner from the hotel we always stayed at in Regensburg. And we always drank their Helles. And that was a bit of an inspiration. The brewery in Germany that inspires me the most to make German beers is Schönrammer.
Love the Pils. Probably one of my top 2, top 3 Pilsner beers.
Absolutely. And Eric Toff, their brewmaster, brewer, is American. He's more German than he is brewmaster. More Bavarian, because they're down in southern Bavaria, right near the Austria border. And I remember going there on one of our early Germany trips, and all open top fermented. I remember having his dark beer, but it was his Helles and his Pilsner that just took me back. And I saw the softness that you can get out of those beers by open top fermenting. You make exceptional beer in closed top fermenters, but when you move to an open top fermenter, it just adds this soft character. And so we now are employing that on a lot of our, all of our Belgian beers get fermented in open top, but even some of our IPAs. And most of the Pliny the Younger this year was fermented in open tops. And I just spent the morning at our Santa Rosa brewery where everything was fermented in closed tops. And then here, I'm now drinking it right now with you. And it is a little bit softer in mouthfeel. And
so neither's like 2 different versions.
It almost is, and that's the one. That's one interesting thing with our brew house here. I mean, when you buy a German brew house, you're buying the technicality that, you know, the experience that comes with the manufacturers from Germany. And it doesn't matter if it's Zeman or GEA or Krones or Braukon or any of the great German brewhouse manufacturers. Yeah. They all at some point came from the same place. Yeah. But you're getting a level of quality. And we knew when we built the new brewery that there would be a difference between the beers from our old brewery to here. There's no way that they could be the same. And so we don't hide that. Okay. We tell our customers, I say, hey, you know, Pliny is a little bit different, whether it's younger or elder, and for that matter, any of our beers. They're a little different between the two breweries, but they're still within reason.
Is it on a bottle? Can I see when I buy a bottle of where it is brewed at which location?
No, because all the bottles come out of this facility because we don't have a bottling line or a canning line at our other brewery. Yeah.
You talked about the Pilsner beer, and I just recognized you have an Omnipollo sign in your office, and Hinok, the guy from Omnipollo, became like a close friend within the last years. And every time we meet, he's like, bring me some Pilsner. So a lot of brewers are really in love with the German Pilsner, but everybody is talking about sour beer, Imperial Stout, bourbon barrel aged, hazy IPA, and but at the end of the day, everybody wants a German Pilsner.
Yeah, Pilsners are a huge hit with brewers.
Yeah.
Brewers, like if you go to a beer festival, and you know everyone's got double IPA stouts, Imperial stouts, so on and so forth. The brewers are drinking Pilsners and Helles, and it's just it's a style that, because it's easy to drink. It can be full flavored. It can, you know, I have a saying that a Pilsner can be every bit as hoppy as an IPA, but just in a different way. Yeah. But it can be dry, it can be bitter, it can be aromatic with hops. Certainly not over the top, and it's going to be totally different if you're going to brew classically. And for me, I think Helles and Pils should be brewed in a very classic fashion with classic noble hops, or hops that have been bred from the classics, you know, like Strusselspalt and Hallertau, Mittelfru and Hirschbrucker and Tradition, Tettnang, those sort of things. Okay. And so those are the hops we use in our beers. Plus we use Aramis, which is a French hop that was bred from Strusselspalt. But I really like that traditionality of it. But brewers love Pilsners, and always at a festival, that's what the brewers are drinking. But they also love to brew them because they're very technical beers and they're very hard to make.
So one last question. For this year, for the first time, you thought, okay, you can now explain why. You put Pliny the Younger also in bottles for the first time. And why that? Why this decision? To do that, people that wait in line can buy two bottles of the Pliny the Younger. Why you decided to do it for the first time this year?
Yeah, so that was a big decision on our part. It was something I'd been thinking about for the last couple of years, that maybe once we got settled into our new brewery here in Windsor, that we would consider bottling it. And you know, like I said earlier, a few minutes ago, we have had people lining up for this beer since 2010. Back then, there was probably maybe 1,000 breweries in America. I don't know exactly, but you know, now there's 8,000 breweries in America, and they say they could go up to 10,000. And that's a lot of breweries that we're competing with. And Natalie and I feel so fortunate that people still line up every year. But we just felt like we needed to do one more thing to kind of up our game, if that makes sense, and take the release to the next level. And the next best thing was to bottle. Over the years, we've improved the process of the release. As more people lined up, you know, we went to a 3-hour table limit. Yeah. We went to a wristband that has 3 tabs on it. Each tab represents the 3 glasses that you can buy. The wristbands are dated. They say which brewery, if it's Santa Rosa or Windsor. And all these little details we've done. So the next step was bottling. And in a way, it's a little bit of a reward also, that, oh, you've waited in line for 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 hours, and here at least you can go home with 2 bottles. We honestly don't know if we bottled too much or too little.
Okay.
We think we bottled a little bit under what we'll sell each day, but the truth is we really don't know. So we track all of the, you know, how much we've sold, when we run out, if we didn't run out, how many bottles were left. We'll track all that, and that'll help us grow in the future. And it's exactly what we did to get to the point so we don't run out of draft younger now.
Okay.
So we have just enough draft every day for the 14 days so that we don't run out, but it's not too much. But we also want to get to the, we don't want to run out early though, because if someone's come from India, Germany, you know, and you come late and you end up being the person that doesn't get it. That's something we don't want to disappoint, you know, our guests with. Yeah. And like I said, we feel so fortunate that someone will wait that long for our beer. We should be ready and be able to, you know, give them a world-class experience at 10 o'clock at night, just as the first person that came in at 10:30 or 11 in the morning. Yeah.
And one very special thing you wrote to me, it was, we were talking about what do you think when we have to arrive to be in at as early as possible. You said, okay, we open at 11, be there at 6. And you said, I'm still thinking about it. If you want to get the full experience, stand in line, talk to the people. And it was so much fun. People came to us because we were like the group having the most fun. And we're like, where are you from? And like, Germany. Oh, Germany. And everybody had a story about Germany. Ask us about where have you been before? Where are you going after this? And it was so much fun. 5.5 hours from getting here to the first sip of Pliny Younger, worth every minute. It's such a wonderful beer. And for 2021, the beer, of course, will be there, and it will also be in bottles. Yeah, so that's the plan.
Yeah. Can I tell you a quick story about the line? The line is the experience. Yeah. Once you get inside the brewery, it's Russian River as normal. But 2 years ago, we got a letter from a couple, and it was their wedding picture. Oh. And they were cool, hip, in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s. The gentleman was wearing a really cool retro suit, and his bride was wearing this really beautiful retro dress, maybe 60s or 70s, whatever. And in the picture, they're each holding a bottle of Pliny the Elder, because we don't bottle younger back then. And they went on to tell us that they had met in line at Pliny the Younger, and they ended up dating, getting engaged, and then getting married. And we've had a lot of stories like that. And we know groups that that are from different parts of the country that maybe met in the younger line 3, 4, 5 years ago. Now it's a vacation. Every year they come to Sonoma County. So there's been a lot of great friendships made. And I've met people in line today that ended up getting in at the same time, and they end up sitting together at the same table, and friendships are formed. And that's pretty neat to see.
Vinny, thank you so much. Yeah. On this probably the most busy day for you of the year, thank you so much for taking your time.
Of course.
Let me know the next time you are in Germany. We still got a present. Not sure if you have to get it out of the car, but you'll definitely get it as some sour beer from Europe. Oh. So I'm Germany's biggest sour beer fan. Of course, I brought something of that. And thank you so much. Great beers. I'm a love at the brewery, and we will be back maybe next time out of the younger season, so you have a little bit more time. And thank you so much again. Continue the good work. We love the beers. You do a lot of sours, so I really appreciate that. And have a nice day. Have a wonderful 14 days. Pliny the Younger 2020. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Cheers. Thank you. Great to meet you.